Hello, family of grace. Welcome to another episode of Daily Grace with Alan Wonder Chapter Edition. And today we're looking at Exodus Chapter 3. Yes, we started, for those who are just listening, who are new to the podcast, we started a new series from the book of Exodus, and in Exodus Chapter 3. As usual, I start off with a word of prayer. Oh, my loving God, I want to thank you for this wonderful day. I want to thank you for the gift of life. I want to thank you for the gift of provision. I want to thank you that you're always there for us where we have gone wrong in our thoughts, in our actions. We ask that may you forgive us, may you send a new Holy Spirit to come and bless us in everything that we do, that you may do it for the glorification of your name. World is believing and trusting in your mighty name, and that of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we're going straight without wasting time. Moses and the burning bush. I think you're all, once again, very, very familiar with this story. The story of Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see why, and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. That is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up and out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to our Lord. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward these people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor, and any woman living in a house, for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which will put on your sons and daughters. And so you'll plunder the Egyptians. Wow. Wow. Today we're looking at the story of the burning bush. I already said we are all very familiar with this story. So straight up, what do I get? Now, from the first two verses, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, Mark wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of the God. There the angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. We can even stop them. What point do I want to drive home? We all see Moses going to the wilderness, and it's there where the angel of the Lord appeared to him. The messenger of the Lord appeared to him in the wilderness. This tells us that sometimes we as Christians ought to go to the wilderness as well, ought to live the comfort of our surrounding and go to the wilderness and seek the Lord from there. Now, some of you might be now looking for deserts and all that. No. In the wilderness, you would not find people in groups. It is actually an isolated place. That at some point, you would be there alone. And that's what I'm telling you today to do today. Get off some personal time. Get off some personal time. Amen? Get off some personal time and spend it with the Lord. Go into the wilderness. Leave everything you have found, whatever will distract you, and get that personal time and spend with the Lord. And when we continue, we see Moses seeing a burning bush. And out of curiosity, he goes to find out why the bush was burning, but it's not being consumed. Then in verse 4, we hear, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. The key word is here I am. I think we have been in this place before. And I told you, as a Christian, are you able to acknowledge God's voice amidst all the voices today? And if you are able to acknowledge it, how fast do you respond? Amen? How fast do you respond? We see Moses not even wasting time. He says, here I am. And he waits. He waits to listen to what God is going to tell him. He does not put his duties before the Lord. You see, so many times nowadays we put our duties, our jobs, our responsibilities before God. We are always too busy for him. Always too busy for him. This, that, always too busy. But today we see Moses, however much he had flock to attend, he put that aside. We'll have to learn to prioritize the Lord. Amen. And if you go into verse 5, we hear the Lord saying, "Do not come any close," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Moses took off his sandals. He was obedient. And it's the same virtue that I always want us to pick. Being obedient. Learn to be obedient. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." That's verse 7. And if you continue verse 8, what does verse 8? "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to the land into good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites." You see that the Lord will never leave you alone. Amen. The Lord saw how the Israelites were being treated by the Egyptians, and his heart could not rest. And in that same virtue, the Lord is seeing everything you're going through. And you see, he did not call everyone. He called Moses. And sometimes all you have to do is wait and trust the process. I know you could be about to say, "Now we're tired of trust the process," all that stuff. But the Lord sees whatever situation that you were going through. He sees it. Don't be fooled. The Lord sees whatever situation you're going through, and he wants to help you. Because if you look at verse 12, by the way, which is my favorite verse from today's word, "And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on this mountain." Moses, when he was doubting, was like, "My Lord, really? Me?" He's still puzzled. He's still shocked that God is using him. Amen. The boy who was rescued from the Nile. The boy who was attending sheep. He left all the elders of Israel who were in Egypt and picked this small boy, Moses. And now when Moses was scared and when Moses was afraid, the Lord is comforting him and telling him, "I will be with you." What more do you want to hear? Like, what more do you want to listen to? Because when you go into verses 13 and 14, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites: "I am has sent me to you." We see Moses communicating with God. That's something I want us to pull out from there. We see Moses talking, God is listening. Then God talks, Moses is listening. That's communication with God. Too many times we want to be the ones talking. Amen. We want to be the, I don't even know how to put it. But Moses is here setting pace. He's telling us what to do. He's showing us an example that we ought to communicate our relationship. Our communication with God should not be one-sided. We should have a dialogue with the Lord. And if you continue to verse 19, "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him." Amen. Now you look at, now imagine this. You are being sent to a place, amen? But the person sending you tells you that you're going there. "I'm sending you for ABC." But that person will not allow ABC to happen. Right? And that's the same way the Lord is telling us that yes, in this journey of life, we are walking through. We all have a destination. We all have a plan. We all have a place where we want to be. But things will not be easy. But he didn't stop there. Unless a mighty hand compels him. And that's where the Lord comes in. Amen. The Lord is that mighty hand. That he has seen what we are going through. That he has seen your journey. That he has seen where he wants to put you. And he's going to use his mighty hand to put you there. And lastly, 21. And I will make the Egyptians favorable, disposed toward these people, so that when you leave, you will not leave empty-handed. And when you leave, you will not leave empty-handed. You see how the Israelites were being tortured and they were suffering. And God is telling them, you won't leave empty-handed. That's the same message I want to put to you today. That the Lord has acknowledged your suffering, what you're going through, that pain, that heartbreak, that disease, name it. And he has told you at the end of the day, you won't go empty-handed. That is a promise. You won't go empty-handed. Get some time. Read Exodus chapter 3. Meditate on it. Tell us, what do you learn? Write to us, dailygracewithalan@yahoo.com. Or you can send us a direct message on Instagram @dailygracewithalan or Twitter. The Lord can use one word to send 1,000 messages. Oh, my love, God, I want to thank you for the gift of this day. I want to thank you for this beautiful story of Moses and his encounter with you. Father, today we put all our dreams and aspirations into your hands. That, Father, through today's journey, through today's story, we may learn that you are always there for us. That the same way you are there for the Israelites, and the same way you planned to deliver them from their bondage in Egypt, that you will deliver us from all our bondage. And the same way you promised to them that they won't live empty-handed, we shall not live empty-handed as well. We pray all this believing and trusting in your mighty name, and that of your Son, Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. Amen.